The things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs. Open your eyes. Read between the lines of what you see. Look into the soul of reality. Open your mind. Look at the signs.
Reenactments and rehearsals might sound boring to most, but not when they have to do with the Temple Mount. We'll explain what this means. Russia is saying some mean things regarding Israel, which is nothing new. And we've been telling you the jab isn't what our government and Big Pharma claim it to be. So we'll vaccinate you with the truth through our prophetic needle of God's Word as we explore the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecy that we find in the world's news for Friday, October 28th, 2022. You can continue receiving our booster shots, our future shows, when you subscribe to our podcast through Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google. Do you think we just make this stuff up? Do you have a prophecy question for Pastor Mark? Then hit us up at thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Navigate your way to Signs of the Times so you can read the articles from this show or ask Pastor Mark your most pressing prophecy question. And now, here to apply some biblical Neosporin to the open sores of our world is Pastor Mark, for whom I normally have a joke, but I keep all my jokes on my phone, and I left my phone at home.
Oh, my.
So,
well,
there you go.
So no joke today.
I had one listener come up to me today. So you're going to have your jokes?
For real.
And I said, no, other. And I don't think he's going to tune in. So I don't know. He sounded disappointed. So.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I hate to lose listeners over the lack of your jokes, Greg, but.
It was too funny. Anyway. Pastor Mark, great to have you here.
It's great to be here, man.
And we've got a lot of good articles. We have no listener questions, which is fine, but we do encourage you that if you do have a listener question, just to visit our website, thewaymedia.net, click on Signs of the Times. You can also take the shortcut and say thesigns.org in your web browser. That will also take you direct to that page where you can ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question. And until then, let's get into some articles, because we've got lots of stuff to talk about today.
Yeah, all right.
All right. Let's go to Israel. For most of the people, they might not think that this is a big deal, but this is, because I'm telling you, I don't know if fulcrum is the right word, but it's going to be a jewel piece in the crown of end times prophecy, and that is peace on the Temple Mount.
Yep.
And so, there's got to be strife to come to the Temple Mount,
right,
in order for peace to be needed,
right,
so to speak. And
right,
even though there's kind of like peace up there right now, it's really not unified.
No, there's not really peace up there now, Greg.
Peace.
But it'll be fake peace for a little while when it happens.
Exactly.
But it's what's needed for that fake peace to come in.
Exactly. So when the Jews start to stir things up about things regarding their third temple, pay close attention. So here's our first article from Israel 365 News. Reenactment of the water libation held to prepare for the third temple. Please explain, because this is the first time that I've heard anything about this. And where is this in the Bible that it's talking about this? This is very interesting.
There are water libations in the Bible. They're part of the sacrifices where you not only offered animals, but you would pour out drink offerings to the Lord. So this is talking about the drink offerings to the Lord that you read about in the Old Testament. They called water, you know, the libations. And it wasn't just water. You'd pour water, you'd pour wine. There's other things. So it was just a libation of liquid, if you will, and as an offering to the Lord. And there's different meanings and significances to it. But what's interesting is that they're starting to reenact all these things that they'll be doing on the Temple Mount once the temple's rebuilt, before it's rebuilt. And that's where they're going to have that false peace, Greg, is when the temple is rebuilt, the third temple being rebuilt. So what these articles are pointing to is the rebuilding of the third temple, which we know will happen. The Bible talks about it. The Antichrist will stand in that third temple, declare that he's God. And so this is what it's talking about. This is exciting to me because they've been doing these animal sacrifices now for several years in the old city. They started sacrificing a Passover lamb again on Passover several years back now. I forget how long it's been. In my mind, I'm thinking 4 or 5. It's probably 9 or 10, the way time goes. Well, now they're offering the water libations. And let me read some of the article. It explains what they would do. It says, on Tuesday, a full dress reenactment of the water libation, as it was performed in the temple, was held in Jerusalem by several hundred participants led by the Kohanim, that is the priests. And by the way, they are training priests in Israel. There's a lot of them already trained.
Right, yeah.
In their priestly garb, accompanied by Levites playing musical instruments. The event began at Shear HaShpat, which is the Dung Gate. That's on the southern side, right above the City of David, for those who have that picture in their mind. In Jerusalem's old city, where the participants joined the priest in the biblically mandated vestments and Levites with musical instruments. So look at this. They're wearing their priestly clothes. They've got the worship team, okay, doing this offering like they used to do in the Old Testament. This would have been exciting to watch. I wish I'd have been there to see this. Matter of fact, I bet it's online. I'm going to go online and see if I can find this.
Right, yeah.
Listeners can do that as well. The musically gifted Levites led the ceremony with joyous music on drums, violin, guitar, clarinet, winding down the ancient walkways into the valley below the Temple Mount. The crowd sang and danced as they went by the archaeological remains of the ancient city of David down to the Pool of Siloam. You've been there, Greg, when you visited.
Yeah.
It's at the very bottom of the hill there at the city of David.
Yeah.
And that's what they would do in the Old Testament. They would go down there and get the water, and they'd bring it back up in this procession and pour it out as an offering to God. And by the way, this is when they poured
that. Is that near or in Hezekiah's tunnel?
Yes, it's down below Hezekiah's tunnel, a little further on down.
Okay.
And I don't remember if they had found the real Pool of Siloam when you were there or not, but since I've been back, they found the real one. It's further down and uncovered it. The old one they used to think came out at the end of Hezekiah's tunnel, but that's not it.
Okay, so that's what was told to us on our trip.
That's
so that's
what
changed.
They thought,
yes.
But they uncovered the real one.
Okay.
And now they verified that's the real Pool of Siloam. It's got these steps that go down. It's huge. It's a little further down. It's really awesome. Well, now it's refilled with water again because they uncovered it. So it's filled back up with the water from Hezekiah's. So they would go down there, fill up these pitchers, walk back up the city of David to the top and pour them out, showing that God's blessing. Like it represented God giving them the water in the wilderness, water from a rock. And they pour the water on the rock of the temple. That's when Jesus, as they poured that water out, you had tens of thousands of people there watching this thing. They're, you know, during this Feast of Tabernacles and celebrating there on the Temple Mount. And it was, according to historical records, it was dead silent. Everybody just, it was like one of these, I'm in awe, ceremonies. Well, they would come up with all the worship, but when they got there, they just got silent. And then the priest would pour the water out. They'd hear the water splashing on the rocks. Everybody's very, very, I mean, tens of thousands of people, totally silent. That's when Jesus broke that silence and said, "He who is thirsty, come to me and drink." Every head would have turned. There would have been tens of thousands. What is this guy doing? He's interrupting the priest. This is a holy moment. And he cries, "No, you come to me. You want water? You come to me." And that gives a whole new picture of what happened there. When you read the Bible about it, it said, "He was thirsty. You come to me and drink, and I'll give you living water." This is what they were reenacting. So they get a golden vessel and fill it up, with a water jug and parade it in front of them. And they have also the jug was filled. Then the procession climbed back to the top of the mountain. A model altar and its utensils were set up in the area adjacent to the western wall. The altar was decorated with large leafy willow branches that were, as was done in the temple. And the ceremony culminated in the priestly blessing, after which 1 in 7 years ceremony was held when they would do this on Rosh Hashanah 2 weeks ago, which was the Shemitah. We talked about that. It was the end of the sabbatical year in Israel. The Talmud. This is what's interesting about this. So they did this ceremony, and 2 weeks ago they had the end of the sabbatical year, the Shemitah, on Rosh Hashanah. But the Talmud, which is not the word of God and is wrong in many ways, that would offend the Jews, but it's not the word of God. It's more of a commentary on it. It states, though, their Talmud writer stated that in the year that the Shemitah, that this is done on Rosh Hashanah at the end of the sabbatical year, it'll be in the following year that Messiah will come. So those who believe that believe the Messiah is going to come here in the next year, okay? And the Talmud describes the days before the Messiah comes in depth, and especially difficult times will be happening, and a lot of things that line up with the Scripture and all that, but it doesn't necessarily follow the Scripture 100%. But what's interesting about this, Greg, and I'll pull this in just briefly, we'll touch on it later, but Jesus said in the last days there'll be many false messiahs. There's a new guy now they're touting as the Messiah, and they're treating him. I mean, the head rabbis are going, "We think maybe he's here." And he's I forget his name. I don't have top of my mind right now. Maybe it'll hit me in a minute. But they're saying he's already done 5 or 6 verified miracles. And they're saying, we think the Messiah is here. And so now that this has happened, they may turn to him and say, you're the guy. Now, there's going to be more than one. This won't be,
right.
I heard somebody today saying that could be the false prophet. No, I don't believe so, because there's going to be many false messiahs. The false prophet, I think, is going to have a greater impact worldwide. This guy doesn't.
And the false prophet is going to be known. The Antichrist is going to be a relative unknown.
Right, right.
When he rises to that position.
Yeah, and they weren't saying he was the Antichrist. They're saying he may be the false prophet. So he could be, since he's a...
But the false prophet doesn't do any miracles, right?
Well, he does. Actually, it says that in the presence of the Antichrist, he calls down fire from heaven. So they apparently both have that ability.
Okay.
So he does, but it's interesting. We'll keep our eye. We'll talk about him on a different show.
Okay.
And we'll do that soon because he's getting more recognition and more attention. And I'm going to be, checking that out soon when I go to Israel to see what's going on there. But I mean, this is like, some of the more legitimate leaders that we've had other guys in the past, that kind of had some attention from the people.
Yes.
But this guy's getting some of the leaders going, this could be something.
Yeah.
And this guy's not denying it in his arrogance. He's just kind of letting them talk.
Right.
So this is interesting.
We need you to be our boots on the ground, signs of the times reporter.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Do some videos for us.
Yes, that would be great.
Yeah. So anyway, just.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
we're,
yeah.
We're having an office discussion on the air.
Yes.
Okay.
Our next
article comes from, I think this is appropriate
it
for
is.
The article.
These go together.
Charisma News.
Yep.
600 Levites rehearse worship songs for the third temple, but listen to this, on the Temple Mount steps.
That's right.
How did they get away with that?
Yeah, well, again, remember, the Temple Mount steps are exposed, Greg. You see them on the southern side. We sat there and had a Bible study.
But
and they
for
did...
600 people, I'm surprised that the guards up there, the security guards, didn't...
No, this is not on the Temple Mount.
Oh, okay.
It's on the Temple Mount steps. Remember the steps that are down there on the southern before you get up on top that we all sat and had a Bible study?
But I just figured it was so close that they wouldn't allow something like that.
No, there's two areas. I'm not sure which area they did it. There's the area there on the southern steps that go up that, and right above it is the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
And that's near where all the rocks are piled up, right?
Yeah, but right around the corner, but just below the Al-Aqsa. So you'd think they'd throw down rocks at them. I don't know. instead of Al-Aqsa, Al-Raqsa.
Oh, yes.
The Al-Raqsa Mosque.
Yes.
I just got a new term for it. But anyway.
Yes, you do.
Anyway, but Greg, also around the other side, on the side of the Mount of Olives, there's a whole strip there that they've uncovered of Solomon's steps going up to the temple that you can see now on that side as well.
Okay.
So they were either on that side or on the southern steps. I'm not sure the article tells. I don't think it does. But the point is what they were doing, it goes right in line with the water libation and the choir. In other words, the worship team is kicking into gear and the Levites. And so there's a buzz in Israel ever since.
What a sound that would have been, 600 of them.
Yeah. Wow. Now, why do you think this all kicked in, Greg? We talked about, remember the five red heifers that they took to Israel?
Yes.
We talked about that.
Yes.
They now have the red heifers, and when they reach a year old, they can sacrifice them and use the ashes for temple worship.
So have they confirmed that these five red heifers are meeting the requirements
so
in
far,
terms of
here's how it works.
Without blemish?
Yes. Here, in case our listeners don't know, they found five spotless red heifers they've been looking for years. They found them in Texas. They've taken them down, flown them to Israel. They're there. Israel, the rabbis are excited as can be. So far, all five are passing the test, but they have to grow to at least a year old without gaining a blemish.
A blemish,
so if something shows up, a little white hair, a little spot in the genetics, then okay, that was done. But they got five. So, that's, again, there's a lot of, I think it's going to work. So they're going to get at least one, which is all they need. But then they sacrifice them after a year. Well, since this happened, now we saw the libation. This is when this happened. After that, now we're seeing the Levites. Everybody's getting excited.
Everyone's getting ready.
Well, listen, it says there's a buzz in Israel ever since the arrival of the five spotless red heifers. That's how this article starts. Since their arrival, Jews and Christians alike have been talking about what possible signs or events may occur regarding the third temple. This excitement was palpable on the steps leading up to the Temple Mount on Thursday, October 13th. 600 Levites, descendants of the tribe of Levi, held a joyous rehearsal in preparation for their duties as priests in the third temple. Taking their roles as priests seriously, these 600 men were practicing so that they would be ready to provide the temple the musical needs that would be required upon its completion. So now they'll get the ashes, they get the temple, they've set up the altar before the temple's built. They can already start doing the sacrifices while the temple's being built. But Greg, they'll already be doing the worship services. So these guys are saying, hey, call the choir together. We're almost about to open up church here, so to speak, and let's rock and roll. And it's just getting, it's happening. You're going to watch this thing turn around quickly on the Temple Mount with the third temple. So keep your eyes on that one.
Yeah, because if that's going to happen, in order for that to really happen to its full fruition,
Yes.
That means that there's got to be somebody that shows up that brings that peace.
Him. Yeah.
That lets him. And that's the Antichrist.
And he's going to rise up fast.
And the church isn't going to know who this guy is, which means the rapture is going to happen before.
Greg, we are so close.
We are. That's what I mean. When we see articles about, regarding the Temple Mount like this, that's what's exciting for the Christian.
Yeah.
That means that our homecoming.
Yeah.
Is going to happen sooner than we think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we might, it's interesting. We may actually not know he's the Antichrist, but see some guy begin to rise up, but we'll be taken out and then he'll be revealed because he starts that 7-year time clock. And I'm telling you, a lot of people say, well, I don't think we're that close. I don't really think we're there. I'm telling you guys, listen, everything is in place. This is so different than all the other people in the past that said the Lord's about to come back. Because when they claimed that, you didn't have everything in place. They wanted everything to be in place, so they'd say that. It's literally in place and happening. And we're watching the priests. They've got all the articles in the Temple Institute. They've got the plans drawn for the third temple. Remember, they've been testing the waters on the Temple Mount, and the Palestinian Arab people have not been fighting them really that much. I mean, this is just getting really interesting.
You know, the only thing we're missing really is Russia and Iran and a bunch of other countries amassing at Israel's border.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that something? It's almost as if you know, like that was even happening right now. But I'll tell you, but again, that brings up a point we'll get to later.
Yeah.
You see the pressure turning up on Russia. Again, any of these things, you reach a point.
Yeah.
Every man's got his breaking point. And so does Vladimir Putin.
Yes.
He's got his as well.
Well, let's talk about him. Times of Israel reporting that a Russian ex-president is saying if Israel sends weapons to Ukraine, it will destroy Moscow ties. I mean, what are the ties right now anyway? I mean, they're all fake at best.
Yeah, but they do at least on the outside, they talk friendly and they work together. What a good segue. You teed me up here. Good. I didn't realize the next article was about Russia.
Oh, you didn't? No, I thought you knew that.
No, see, that's where you're okay. That's that whole, good job.
Okay. Thank you.
But anyway, but former Russian president Dmitry Medvedev, you can just maybe say his name a few times. It's kind of fun. On Monday, warned against Israel sending weaponry to Ukraine, saying it would destroy all diplomatic relations between Jerusalem and Moscow. And I quote, it seems Israel will supply weapons to the Kiev regime, a very reckless move. It will destroy all diplomatic relations between our countries, he said. Now, here's what's happening. Israel hasn't provided any weapons yet, and they've been semi-friends with Russia, at least, you know, on the outside. No real reason not to like each other, but there are new reasons now. Number one, Russia's getting squeezed, and they need the money for their natural gas and oil. Israel's going to start supplying that, I believe, to the world and to the Middle East and to Europe. And that's going to make really Russia mad because not only hurts them militarily, it hurts them financially and all these other reasons. Well, now you've got other things happening here. You see what's happening, Greg. My understanding is the reason that Israel wants to help Ukraine is because they look at what happened to them with Hitler.
Mm.
And they're saying, look, nobody came to help us.
Yeah.
When somebody came in that was just, you know, wrongfully wiping us out, which whether or not it's wrongful or not, I think there's a lot more going on in Ukraine. And really, the leader of Ukraine is not the great guy. Everybody, the more information I find out about him, he's not the great hero guy that everybody thinks and the way the media is presenting him. That's a whole nother. We don't have time for that.
Right,
however, still, Israel's going, you know what? We can't just sit back and see a nation and a people get attacked that didn't provoke it and do nothing. Because look what happened to us. So they're saying, we're going to maybe supply some weaponry for you guys. Well, Russia's going, so their motivation is a good motivation, but Russia's saying, that means you're fighting us. So now you're our enemy. So we're coming after you. So this is just building up, Greg, to this whole thing. It's like, I don't want to, you know, you have to be careful not to talk about it so much that nobody listens anymore. But I'm telling you, pressure builds up to a certain point to where it's going to break. At some point, Russia's going to move on Israel. And you're going to have, again, the motivation, Iran's ready to go now.
Well, in the infrastructure for Russia to do this, Russia's already established at the beginning of the Syrian civil war.
Yeah.
When Russia came in to be mediator, peace broker, you know, arbiter, so to speak, they'd already established themselves as far as ground forces, naval forces, air forces. I mean, the infrastructure's there. It's just a matter of, okay, we're gonna shift troop deployment from here to here. Aircraft deployment from here to here. But we've already got bases. We've already got the logistics.
Yeah.
We've already got the infrastructure to support an army.
Yeah, they're in position.
A large army.
Yeah, even coming down through Crimea now. They come down from the north. They come from the Mediterranean.
Yes.
They've got ports up there in the north with Syria, Beirut, that area. I mean, you're right. They're in place. And they've got the drones, they've got the ships, they've got the subs. I mean, we're right there to where anything could happen any moment.
It'll be interesting to see any stories that talk about the other countries that Ezekiel talks about coming into that region, maybe for exercises or joint whatever.
Right.
You know, and we don't know. Ezekiel just says these countries will participate, but we don't know how they're going to end up participating.
Yeah, be watching for Sudan and Libya, because Turkey's already linking up with them.
Yeah, exactly.
So be watching for Sudan and Libya specifically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's getting exciting. Okay. It's exciting days in which we live, I'm telling you.
This is not so exciting, but, you know, it's all part of prophecy. You know, not all prophecy is good. And this is from Israel 365 News. Members of Congress have to write a letter to Blinken urging him to deal with State Department anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Now, we knew when the Biden administration was installed, there was a lot of people that were named that we had done investigations on that were going to be named into these positions. And we knew that they had anti-Israel stances.
They hated Israel to begin with.
So this isn't a surprise.
It's not a surprise, but it is prophetic.
Yes, it is.
And that's why we, as prophesizers, not really, prophesiers, not sizers.
Prophesizers.
I'm turning into a prophesizer the more I eat, but
is that like jazzercise?
No, it's exercise.
For Bible prophecy?
Spiritual exercise.
You know?
Yeah.
Ezekiel.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but that's why we bring it up, because it is, a biblical that you're going to see anti-Semitism growing. But again, let me point out the fact this is America, supposedly with their best friend in the world.
Yes.
And although they're going to Blinken, he's not Blinken. He's holding his position.
Yes,
a bipartisan group of members in the U.S. House of Representatives sent a letter to U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken this week urging for an update on the investigations of internal incidents of anti-Semitism in the department. So there's a bunch of stuff going on. I'm not going to cover all that in the article, but I'll just say this. The letter was signed by 75 members of Congress, reminding Blinken of the multiple acts of anti-Semitism that have occurred in the past 21 months.
And this was bipartisan, too, by the way. Was this not?
Yes. Yeah. Well, because, again, you got to remember, the Democrats, a lot of them are Jewish, and a lot of them want to reach the Jews as well. So it's not just, if it wasn't for political, you probably would see everybody turning against the Jews.
Sure.
Because of the spiritual influence on that, because we know that Satan hates them, and Satan is the one driving this hatred. But it says there's been just a multiple of things happened in the past 21 months. Within the State Department, despite launching an investigation of the incidents, there's been no news of progress or punitive action. The reason being is because they don't care. Remember, these, again, the people that our president put into place there, a lot of these people were vocally, they already were against Israel. They were vocally anti-Israel, anti-Semitic already. And I remind our listeners, why is that? It's a spiritual thing. You know, I do want to make mention of the fact, those that keep up, with what Kanye West, he's been really attacking.
I was just going to mention that.
I think we need to mention it because, Kanye West has claimed to be a Christian, and I don't know if he's a true believer or not. So, okay, we'll leave that up to God. There are some things that look like, there's fruit, and there's some things that look like, no, there's not fruit, not of God. But, and it doesn't mean that if you don't love Israel that you can't be saved. We know historically there have been some leaders. Martin Luther was very anti-Semitic. And yet we know that he was saved and all that, was used by God. But the thing is, when a Christian is anti-Semitic, it means they don't understand. They're either not walking in the Spirit or they don't understand the scriptures to be literal as God wrote them. And so Kanye West doing this, look, standing with Israel and the Jews does not mean they're doing everything right. The Jews are really doing a lot of things wrong right now. They hate God. Well, they hate Jesus. So they hate God, really, in a sense. They're rebellious. They're stiff-necked like they've been throughout history. They do a lot of evil things like other governments. There's bribery, cheating. I mean, they do a lot of wicked things. So when I say we stand with Israel, I do not stand with the wickedness of Israel, the wickedness of their leadership, and the people that rebel against God. I do not agree with that, and I say that is wrong, and they need to repent. We stand with Israel because we know the future of Israel, and God said, I will bless those who bless Israel. So we stand with the promise that God gave them and the promise of the future of who they'll be, Greg, as you know.
Right.
So when I see this kind of thing, like somebody like Kanye West, I'm going, I don't think Kanye West knows the Bible good enough and probably doesn't know it very much at all. And certainly is not walking by the Spirit of God in this one, because God would say, look, even though they're doing things that are wrong, and you could point out real things that are wrong,
God told us to bless them.
We need to be a blessing to them,
and
we wait because we know what's going to happen. It's like we recognize the Spirit will be poured out.
Right.
They're going to repent, and we stand with them. That's what we mean we stand with Israel.
Well, here's was my takeaway from the whole Kanye West story and the anti-Semitic comments that he made.
Are you gonna, and Greg's going to rap it to us. Let's go ahead and drop that beat
not,
in there.
No, I'm not going to. No, that beat. I'm not going
to
rap.
We had the song ready to go.
No.
You're chickening out at the last minute. Yeah. All right, go ahead. No, I get it. No, I get it. Go ahead.
Okay. That was a nice way to set me up for nothing. But here's the deal. You know, when we look at the world and the hatred for Israel, what I find, even though it took 2 weeks since the initial news broke of his comments that he made, what I think is interesting is the companies that have now dropped Kanye West.
Yeah, I mean, he's
Adidas, and there's a whole list of them.
Yeah.
His famous athletes, Aaron Donald from the Los Angeles Rams was signed on to his marketing firm or whatever as an agency rep to rep him.
Right.
Rep Donald. He's dropped him. Other people have dropped him to distance themselves. Hollywood celebrities have come out distancing themselves, condemning what he said, which I think is interesting in light of the tide of hatred that's really coming towards Israel globally, that this one situation really is standing up against that type of rhetoric. So I just think it's interesting. It doesn't mean, I don't know that it means anything other than, to me, that's a bit of good news in the midst of all the bad news.
Yeah, I think the difference, Greg, is that it's not time. The world's not ready to have everybody turn on the Jews. There's still a restraining of the Holy Spirit. There's still too many Christians. There's still too many Jews that are the owners of many of these companies.
Right.
So the world's not ready. Now, you get the Holy Spirit. When the church is gone and God removes that restraining thing, it's really going to take off. And that's when you're going to see the whole world backing, you know, everything that for Kanye or anybody else would say, they're going to go for it. Yeah.
Now I can rap.
Can
but
you? Okay.
But I'm not going to.
Okay.
I will tell you that we've got a listener family that literally has put a dance together to our theme song.
Really?
For Signs of the Times.
So we need to get that up there on the site so people can see that.
Well, they've also offered to actually be here in studio behind me doing the dance behind me. Now, they have walked by the window and they've done the dance for me out in the window.
You got to be kidding me.
I am not kidding you. So, Greg, and you know them, and I won't, we'll talk about
them
later.
You know, it's funny about that real quick. So there's a family in Nashville that I just found out. They all sing our song together and they do this thing. And apparently we're starting kind of this whole thing that's going on with.
I never pay attention. I mean, I know the lyrics of the song.
If you're dancing to our theme song, send those videos in and we'll try to put them up on the website.
Is that not hilarious?
I think that's great.
I think that's fine. And the fact that they know the lyrics to the song, which is a legitimate song by Michael W. Smith.
From a long time ago.
Called The Signs.
Right.
And that's our theme song, which is apropos for what we do. But nevertheless, that people know it and sing it and make up dance routines to it. So,
well, see,
amazing.
I rap too. I'm getting ready to rap here at Christmas. I rap every year.
Yes. Okay.
Not vocally. I just ribbons and tape. Yeah. But I'll be rapping here.
That's kind of like asking you, well, you know, do you exercise? Well, yeah, I run.
Yeah.
You know, I run late. I run my mouth. I run behind.
Yes, I jog my memory.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, my. Okay.
How do we get back?
Yeah, we're going to put
this
back on the track.
Get the prophetic GPS.
This is Signs of the Times. This is your weekly look at Bible prophecy and the world's news for Friday, October 28th. This is episode 237 for those of you that are able to watch us or listen to us later on as a podcast, and we appreciate you doing so, whether you're live, online, or later. All right, let's get into... Speaking of bad things, bad intentions, bad actors, bad people, bad outcomes, this is the world's orchestration for the end times. It's pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption.
Yeah.
And this is corruption really of the highest order. The Centers for Disease Control, this is from the Epoch Times, or Epic Times, however you want to pronounce it.
Yep, Epic.
The CDC is promoting LGBT chat room supporting sex change, multiple genders, and queer activism in teens.
Yeah.
That's a mouthful of an article title, but it basically sounds like they are helping to promote teens getting together in a chat room, encouraging each other to...
Yeah.
do all these things to their body.
Which is exactly what you would expect the Centers for Disease Control to do.
Mm.
I think somebody's taking a wrong turn here. What in the world is the Center for Disease Control? You know, and this, Greg, leads into several things, as you said, we're going to be talking about. One is any legitimacy they had left has now completely dissipated. The CDC has proven itself and shown itself to be a corrupt organization that we as America can no longer listen to in any form and fashion. And by the time you hear all these articles, you're going to agree with me and everyone else listening will. Do not listen to the CDC. They're a false organization. They're led by politics and money. They're not looking for the good of the people or anything else. It is all about themselves, and they are totally corrupt. And now we see their corruption and their evil here in promoting these young children into a lifestyle that's going to not only ruin their life now, it's going to condemn them eternally. But it says the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, CDC, is promoting a chat room for LGBT youth resources page that discusses a variety of sex-related topics, including sex change operations and hormone replacement therapy. Greg, sex change, this is mutilation of our children. They're promoting the mutilation of our children, cutting their genitals off, telling them they're not who they said they are, and trying to make them into someone else. Hormone replacement therapy, that has only been used in the past, generally, for a criminal punishment. They take rapists in rare cases and they make them take hormone replacement therapy to do away with their testosterone so they can no longer have a sexual desire and ruin any opportunity they would have to do that to anybody else. Now we're taking what is usually done to criminals and the CDC is pushing it on our children. Shame on them. And God will deal with them. Let me go on. You can tell I'm upset about that. The Q Chat Space is an online discussion platform for LGBTQ. By the way, this has nothing to do with those that are wrapped up in this movement here. If you're involved in the LGBT community, God loves you. You have to repent in order to be saved and go to heaven. But God loves you, and we love you. This is not toward you.
Right.
This is toward the CDC that is deceiving you and leading you down a road of destruction.
Exactly. Yeah.
And says that the platform is for them and questioning teens, those that are looking for answers, they say, between 13 and 19 years of age. It hosts conversations on sexual topics, including the drag culture, multiple genders, queer youth activism, hormone replacement therapy, and gender affirmation surgeries. And by the way, all these things forbidden by the word of God. I was just reading this morning, again, in the scriptures where God says a man is not to dress as a woman and a woman is not to dress as a man. These are an abomination unto the Lord. Now, I expect the world to do that. They don't know any better. And so that's going to be just a matter of showing God's love and trying to call them to repentance. But when you're seeing our organizations, who are certainly not godly, promoting this to our kids, again, I get back to that same verse we've been using a lot, Greg. Better a millstone, Jesus said, hung around your neck than you cause these little ones to stumble. A millstone hung around your neck and you thrown into the sea than to cause one of these little ones.
Yes.
That's right. And so the chat space directs kids to resources related to gender transitioning. It is pure evil.
Wow.
And we're going to call it what it is. They need to repent and our children need to be protected. And I want to say to our listeners, do not listen to the CDC anymore. They have revealed themselves as totally corrupt and evil for their own interests, politics, and money. They do not care about the American people or the welfare of anyone for that matter. And the Bible says they're an abomination to God.
Our next article, Pastor Mark, comes from The Blaze, where we find a Pfizer executive admitting that the COVID-19 vaccine was never tested to see if it would prevent transmission of the virus or the disease or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, this came down as a shocker, Greg. Most people assumed that they had tested the COVID-19 shots.
Well, you know, to a certain extent, Pastor Mark, you know, this was pushed through emergency acts. This has never been FDA approved.
Right.
In terms of, you know, how the FDA approves these types of things. So that's not surprising.
But here's what is surprising.
But that now we're hearing the truth coming from the horse's mouth.
Well, but even more than that, they were telling us that it would.
That it would. Yeah. Well, which was a flat out
lie.
But
what this revealed is they knew the whole time it wouldn't.
Wouldn't. Exactly.
They knew this would not prevent the spread of COVID. But they came out and said, and even our president said, if you take this shot, you will not get COVID. Just numerous people I could go on. There's a whole list of them.
There's a whole list of them.
And they lied to us. They just lied to us.
Yes.
Fauci lied to us. Everybody lied to us. And so what's happening is this is now coming out and people, rightfully so, are upset. Listen to this. In a shocking admission, a Pfizer executive on Monday stated that the company did not know if the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine that it developed with BioNTech would prevent viral transmission before bringing it to market. Now, again, like you said, Greg, they rushed it to market because everybody's so afraid everybody was going to die. You might give that a little bit of leeway for a moment. But then when you understand they rushed it knowing it wouldn't help. They rushed it knowing it wouldn't help. What that means is we're in it for the money. We don't care what it does to your body, to your kids. We want our cash. We won't mention the fact that we know it doesn't help. We're just going to say, oh, everybody needs to do it because we may all die. It goes on. During questions, a Dutch member of the parliament, Rob Roos, a conservative and opponent of Europe's COVID-19 passports, asked Small whether Pfizer could provide lawmakers with evidence that it believed the vaccine would prevent coronavirus transmissions before bringing it to market. And I quote him, was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market? If not, please say it clearly. If yes, you are willing to share, are you willing to share this data with the committee? In response, Small from Pfizer said he did not know, she did not know that the they did not know that the vaccine would prevent transmission before they brought it to market. And I quote, regarding the question around around this, she admitted, we did not know about stopping immunization before it entered the market. The answer would be no, we didn't know that it would do any good. Now, that's why this is shocking. It's not shocking they rushed something thinking everyone might die. That's called panic and we don't know what to do. But they knew before the panic. They knew before rushing it. They knew before it was introduced, this shot will do nothing to stop anybody from catching anything out there. It will have no effect, zero. And now what have we seen? Everyone who got the shot has what? They've gotten COVID. Some of them had four shots. They've still got the leader of the...
Right. You know, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll talk.
In other words, we
now know by evidence it did no good. But what's angering is they knew it all along and they're now admitting it. And boy, this right here has sent shockwaves around the world. You're going to see, I don't know where this is going to end, right, but I think you're going to see a lot of people who have had loved ones that have died and people that are permanently damaged. And all that. You're going to see a lot of anger and lawsuits. And boy, this is just the beginning,
Just
the beginning.
Well, the shock and awe continues, Pastor Mark. Israel National News reporting a top cardiologist in Israel is calling for the halt to COVID vaccination altogether.
Wow, this should have happened a long time ago. Why in the world these things are still out there? We now know so much about them and the damage they're doing. Yeah. They should all be stopped immediately. But let me read what this other research paper said.
Yeah.
A new research paper authored by a prominent UK cardiologist and evidence-based medicine expert has concluded that the use of the mRNA COVID shots should be halted until independent investigators are given access to the raw data from the clinical trials. Dr. Asim Malhotra was originally a staunch defender of the COVID shot, but after his father, who was previously healthy with no heart issues, suddenly passed away of a cardiac arrest, he began to investigate the evidence that the vaccines are safe and effective, as the FDA and the CDC claim. Being a cardiologist who had seen his father's diagnostic test results prior to his COVID shots, confirmed his good state of health. He knew there was no rational explanation for the blockages found in his father's arteries after his death. And so among the evidence cited in the journal called Vaccine, he concluded, based on the data from the trial studies conducted by Pfizer, because they're having to release all their articles now, Pfizer and Moderna, that the risk of being hospitalized, listen to this, due to an adverse reaction from the vaccine is a greater risk than just getting COVID. So the shot's worse than just getting COVID, he's saying. So the data's showing that if you get the shot, it'd have been better to not get the shot and just catch COVID. Dr. Malhotra also points out that contrary to popular belief, what the Pfizer trial did, what it did not show, was any statistical significant reduction in serious illness of COVID-19 mortality from the vaccine. In fact, he notes, get this, there were only two deaths from COVID-19 in the placebo group and one death from the vaccine group. However, looking at all-cause mortality, that's the total number of people that died in relation to the vaccine, he said there were actually more deaths in the vaccine group than the non-vaccine group. So when you look at everything together, he said more people died after getting the vaccine than died just from getting COVID. So his conclusion is it would have been much better for the world to just catch COVID and get over it and move on. And whatever happens, happens.
And let your bodies produce their own natural antibodies.
Greg, and yet we're still, our CDC, we're still pushing this. It's being pushed worldwide. We now know that masks do nothing. They did nothing. Matter of fact, the places
yeah,
where the
research
mask,
is out there.
The research is there. The places where the masks were most used, there was more infection because there was reinfection due to touching the mask. So, but if it happens again, you know what's going to happen? Put masks back on. No, that's damaging.
Yeah. Well, not only that, it dental issues have now cropped up.
Really?
Diseases in the mouth as a result of that.
Wow.
Kids with masks are now, they're reporting learning disabilities.
Yeah, because you can't see the mouth move.
Nope. And so speaking, speech development and things like that,
yes.
if I can talk,
yes.
Is behind.
Yeah.
So anyway.
And the lockdowns, same thing.
Lockdowns.
They were all disastrous,
That
Greg.
Affects the mental illness aspect that
yes.
we see in our,
yes.
in around the world, really,
yes.
right now.
Yes.
It's all, and we're going to. We're gonna bring in some prophecy at the end of this, but anyway, let's get to the next article. If
yes.
you're done with that one,
yes, no, okay. that's fine. Let's move on.
The Washington Times reporting the Florida's Surgeon General is saying men under 40 shouldn't get the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, interesting because again, Denmark just now prohibited anybody 60 and under from getting the vaccine.
Oh, interesting. Denmark did.
Denmark did it. Yes. They've now said, nope, don't take this. It's good. It's hurting too many people. Now, listen to this. A warning from Florida's top health official that the benefits of the mRNA-based COVID-19 shot for men younger than 40 are outweighed by the dangers of the actual shot, which immediately drew derision over the weekend from Democrats and, again, encouragement from Republicans. So, again, it turns into a political issue. But this Florida Surgeon General just wanted to keep it statistical, keep it to the facts. The Florida Surgeon General Joseph Lopato's guidance released Friday was based on the exit analysis of the vaccine safety conducted by the State Department of Health. And listen to this quote, or this statement. The self-controlled case series analysis found that men ages 18 to 39 experienced an 84% increase in the incidence of cardiac-related death within 28 days after the shot. Now, think about that. People say, well, it's not the shot. No, we're talking within 28 days of the shot, an 84% increase in heart attack deaths. There's no other explanation than the shot did it. There is no other explanation.
Right, right.
And so he said, so he came out and said, with a high level of global immunity to COVID-19, the benefit of any kind of any vaccination is likely outweighed by this abnormally high risk of cardiac-related death among men in this age group. Non-mRNA vaccines were not found to have have helped any. Basically, Thomas Massie, who's been an outspoken critic of the vaccine and mask mandates during the pandemic, lauded the findings. And I quote: "Florida Surgeon General says the COVID-19 mRNA shots are associated with an increase of cardiac-related death among men 18 to 39, and recommends that males in this age don't get it. Biden should not be mandating these shots." So the information is getting out there, and people are learning. But again. It's coming way too late.
Yeah.
And again, I want to encourage our listeners, for those of you out there that, again, I say this each time, that have had the shot, again, the worst case scenario for those who can continue to get these boosters and all these things, that's going to make it way worse. So again, it doesn't mean because you took the shot, you're going to have a heart attack. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that in certain people, especially those that go with multiple shots and keep going, I mean, this is not good, Greg, and people need to hear this.
Our last article in this category, Pastor Mark, comes from Fox News, where we see the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, has tested positive for COVID-19 a month after getting her updated booster
this
shot.
This is her fourth.
A fourth booster shot.
This
there
is
we
her
go.
Fourth. CDC shot. Yeah, Rochelle Walensky, Centers for Disease Control, said she had it now. She's experiencing mild symptoms, but is up to date on her vaccines, it says. Here's the point. It does nothing. At this point, the only thing it's doing is causing harm. And the statistics are showing that it's better to stay away from it. I don't know how to say it more clear when you look at the data and the evidence. But I think, Greg, here's the problem. Most Americans don't do their own homework. They don't go look at the data. They don't look at the evidence. They just listen to what people like the CDC are saying. And didn't we just show at the very beginning of this, the CDC is not to be trusted any longer in any form and fashion.
Now let's talk about prophecy for a minute. And if you're new to the program, you're like, okay, well, these guys have gone on and on about all this COVID-19 stuff. I thought this was a Bible prophecy program.
Right.
Yes, it is. But listen to this. First of all, John chapter 10, Jesus himself tells us that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy.
That's right.
The Bible tells us that in the end times, there will be a one world government, a one world currency. There will be technology in place that will provide control for the Antichrist to control your comings and goings, your buying and selling goods. Everything that the Bible has talked about almost that is going to happen in the latter days has been started or accelerated by this COVID-19
right.
pandemic.
It was a real instrument to kick things in at higher speed.
A plandemic.
Yeah.
And I think are we talking about it next week, the article about the Wall Street Journal talking about all the people that benefited financially? I'm trying to remember.
Yes, I believe so. That is for our next week's program.
Okay, next week's program.
Yes.
They knew this was coming.
Yeah.
And they benefited from it financially.
Yes, we do talk about that.
Our nation's leaders.
Yeah, Congress is
Congress.
Either. Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to say something bold here. The deaths that have been purposefully created.
That's right.
As a result of this, and this is on purpose.
That's right.
Deserve a war crimes trial that would put the World War II war crimes trial, the Nazi war crimes trial, to shame.
Greg, I think this is worse than Nuremberg. I think this is worse than what happened in with Hitler, because it was limited there. This is worldwide.
This is worldwide. This,
and many of these people, yeah. many of them didn't know what yeah. they were doing. They were yeah. just greedy, but yes. many of them did know. And I think those that did know, they do yeah. need to be held yeah. accountable.
Now, that's on an earthly level, but on a prophetic level, we can see how this plandemic has affected end times prophecy.
Absolutely.
And put so many things into motion
yeah.
and notions in people's heads about vaccine passports. That's
right.
a control issue.
That absolutely
that's,
is.
That's a global issue.
Yeah.
Tracking. That's the mark of the beast issue. So
right.
we've seen a lot of advancements in tracking for the sake of safety.
Yep.
So you don't infect someone
that's right.
or whatever. You want to know what? The vaccine doesn't prevent you from infecting anyone.
That's
it
right.
just hastens or, you know, increases the probability of your death
yeah.
if you continue to take these
That's
shots.
Right. That's
and
right.
the statistics are out there now.
That's right.
And what do you always like to say about conspiracies and conspiracy theories?
Well, it's only a theory until you see it happening.
There you go.
Once it starts happening, you drop the word theory. And there it is. I mean, this now is clearly a, right. it has been a conspiracy, at
yes.
least among these, the Moderna,
yeah.
Pfizer,
yeah.
and many of these leaders.
Yeah.
They knew before this happened that this would not help, and they
yeah.
did it for financial gain. Conspiracy just means you're working together in something that is, you know, trying to benefit you or to trick. They did that. That's what they did. This is now revealed as a real conspiracy.
Yeah. So COVID-19 and all the fallout from it. When you think about the separation of people and causing mental illness issues, the mask wearing and what that's done, that's a submission issue.
It
with
is.
The mask wearing.
That's right.
This is, I'm telling you, this is all designed to break down humanity.
That's right.
And get them to fall in line for control.
That's right.
That will come from a one world leader.
Yep.
God never designed us to wear masks all day long.
That's right.
God designed us to...
Or to be locked down.
Or to be locked down, to be separated from our loved ones.
That's right.
I can't tell you, I can't count how many people are still in anguish over the fact that they had a loved one that was dying.
That's right.
And it might not have been related to COVID. It could have been from cancer,
right.
anything. And they were prevented from going into hospitals and
yeah.
nursing homes
right.
and spending the last few remaining hours or moments or whatever with their loved one.
Yep.
Judgment's coming.
And many of our leaders knew they could have done it. They
yes.
could have, it would have been okay. They knew that. They knew it made no
and
difference.
And they scared people into
no
believing that.
It made no difference either way. Is what,
exactly.
What they didn't know, Greg.
Exactly.
And one element you left yeah. out, which I know you're kidding, including
no.
this, it's, remember, it's a worldwide
yes.
thing, so who's over this? This is demonic. This is, you get away from politics now, we talked about that aspect of it, this is much larger. This is satanic, it is demonic, it is getting the world ready to unify for this world leader who's going to take over. He's going to try to be God, he'll have his little spotlight for 3.5 years, which even his little 3.5 years is going to be during the wrath of God being poured out on the earth. What a miserable kingdom he's going to be ruling. God will say, yeah, you want to rule, there you go. And for the people of the world, you want him to rule over you? Then enjoy his leadership, there you go. And then Jesus comes back, and man, yeah. we rock and roll.
You know, what I
can't wait.
What I love about that whole aspect, Pastor Mark, is that, you know, there are certain things that we learn about God as we take in all of his word. One of them is that God will be a debtor to no man.
That's right.
God will owe man nothing.
That's right. That's
which
right.
Which means you can't outgive God.
That's right.
You can go ahead and try. The other thing is that God will share his glory with no one. In no man. And we learn that as we take in all of God's word. So what I find what's interesting is that the moment that the Antichrist stands up in the Temple Mount at the midpoint of this 7-year peace treaty, and he declares himself God, and not only that, not only does he declare himself God, but now everyone has to worship me. I believe, even though the Bible does not necessarily indicate it to that degree, other than the fact that that's when the wrath gets poured out.
Right.
I believe that God is not going to allow the Antichrist to receive one iota of glory at
Absolutely.
All.
I believe it.
It is going to be so instantaneous and impactful that no one can deny it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I again, this is going to be such a short-lived, it's just such a fake glory that he's going for, and it's going to be judged, and God's going to take over, and I can't wait.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely, like I said, we're living in exciting days, and we need to be bold and be witnesses for Christ. His return is soon.
Yep, and we'll have good seats to watch.
Yes, we will. So. That's right.
All right, let's hit the church. Man, you know, Pastor Mark, you've been talking about not trusting the CDC.
Right.
Well, here's a Barna research poll that says Americans trust the government more than the church to make meaningful change.
How sad is that?
Wow.
We just talked about
that's an indictment,
well,
is it not?
And we just finished talking about how we can't trust our government institutions anymore. They've shown themselves untrustworthy, and yet the people trust them who have been shown to be untrustworthy more than the church. Woe to us. We need to be teaching the word of God and living in the character of Christ. Americans are twice as likely, it says, to say government is responsible for creating meaningful change in the nation that they are to say in the nation than they are to say the same about the church, according to a new Barna survey. The poll released this week found that 52% of U.S. adults believe the national government is responsible for creating meaningful change, while only 26% answered that way about religious organizations and 25% about Christian churches. Respondents could list multiple answers. Now, Greg, to just touch on this for a second, the reason being is we've gotten away from what we're called to do. The church is called to be a light unto the world, to teach the word of God, and to love the world around us. Now, much of the church is doing that, and I'm not denying that. But much of the church is now simply a social organization, oftentimes doing political events and political things and all things. And again, there's a place for that. But I'm saying it's more than the church. It's just another institution of the world. And because of that, it doesn't have the power of God. Hence, it's failing people, and people are losing their trust in it. We have to get back to the word of God, the spirit of God, and the character of God if this is going to be regained.
You know, we talked about all of the aspects or the prophecies that COVID-19 affected. Here's another one that COVID-19 affected, and that's apostasy.
Yeah,
that's the great falling away
that's
of the church.
In the last days.
Because how many churches have you seen basically bowing to the government in terms of, now, again, biblically, it says we're supposed to respect our leaders.
Of course.
But when they're doing something that's known to kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you...
Now you don't come out of that government.
You don't stand with that.
Unless that's... Let's talk... Go ahead, finish your point. I want to talk on that.
What I wanted to get to is this poll is now... What's interesting is that you've got a lot of people that have looked to their world governments for direction, and I get to a certain extent that you would expect your government to be honest and forthright.
And I
get that. But to me, this is a telling sign of the growing influence that government is having over people's lives that God never designed the government to have to begin with.
That's right.
But now government is becoming God.
That's right. And that's what they want.
Yes, exactly. And that's, to me, what my takeaway from this poll.
And
but anyway,
that's a great point, Greg. That's a great point. I mean, I think that's very obviously what's happening here. But, you know, when you look at this, I want to address just quickly the issue of, you know, when do we not come under the government? Look, we are to come under the governing authorities until they go against God and go against God's word. Once they go against God and go against God's word, then the Bible says we're to stand against that. Now, we don't go out, you know, and you know, take up arms and do it. But I'm just saying we stand against it and we speak the truth. You know, a lot of people try to say, well, America got founded wrong. We're wrong because we rebelled, you know, and Christians should agree. We rebelled against the King of England. That was wrong. No, I don't believe it was wrong because he was a tyrannical leader going against the word of God. He was forcing mankind to worship the way he wanted them to worship. And so God says, no, when that happens, you come out from under that. So the Americans fought against that. God gave us a new country, and here we are. Now, that's kind of summing it up in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But I do not believe America rebelled wrongfully. I think America stood against tyranny, against someone that was leading the people away from God and bowing to him and what his dictates were, even as we wouldn't bow to the Antichrist, even as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow to Nebuchadnezzar. We're not to bow to King George or anything else like that or to any other government here. So we are to be good citizens as long as they do not require us to go against the word of God. And then we simply have to say to them, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what, you may get me in trouble for this. You may do something to me, but we won't bow. We're going to stand with our God. And so that's where we have to be right now. This is a day where we've got to stand and say, we can't go along with the wickedness of this government, teaching our children perverse things, trying to push off. There's so many things we cannot stand with, and it's not wrong to make a stand and speak out against it.
You know, the church for the longest time has been the focal point of charitable contributions and charity and looking after those that are less fortunate.
Yes.
Historically.
Which we're called to do.
Called to do. And, you know, this poll here, you know, is really looking to the government at this point to do that over religious organizations or Christian churches.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just very telling.
It really is. They're, again, like you said, they're looking to the government as God rather than to God. And the church should be there shining that light, saying, "Good, no, God's your answer, not the government."
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's get some good news in for
absolutely
this episode of Signs of the Times. To wrap things up, here's Fox News telling us about a Washington high school football coach that was fired over praying. And I'm assuming praying on the field or praying during the game. Is now to be reinstated.
Yes, this is a very good feel-good story, as they say. A Washington high school football coach was fired by the district over post-game prayer. So after the game, he would pray. They're saying now he must be reinstated and have his old job back by March 2023. Joe Kennedy, a former football coach of Bremerton High School, was put on leave in 2015 for reciting prayers at midfield following the games. He would just go out there. Listen to this, Greg. He began reciting after-game prayers by himself. Just went out there and prayed by himself to thank God. Eventually,
he said after game?
Yeah, post game.
Wow.
Yeah. And so students started joining him. According to the court documents, this evolved into motivational speeches. Again, all the people they were gathered says, "Hey, let me share it. Guys, you're here. Here's why I'm praying." So he did what a Christian should do. He started sharing the gospel. And so because of this, they notified the school that he got let go, if you will. He's now been temporarily was let go. They've now notified the school that he would resume the practice. Well, let me back up. He said he would stop, and then he was convicted and said, "No, I'm going to keep doing it." And so the school district, you know, basically offered him locations before and after the games or for him to pray on the 50-yard line after everyone else had left. But he refused, insisting that he would continue his regular practice of praying, like Daniel did. After continuing the prayers for two more games, they put him on leave. Again, the case made its way all the way to the Supreme Court, where in June of this year, it was ruled that in favor of Kennedy getting his old job back. And in August, the justices said Kennedy's post-game prayers on the field were protected under the First Amendment. And indeed, they are. That, listen, right now, what Satan is trying to do, Greg, is remove all the freedoms that God has given us. Remember, the Bible says where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And yet, but where the spirit of Satan is, there's bondage.
Yes.
And so now we're seeing the bondage trying to come and take away our First Amendment rights to speak. And all this. Again, the Constitution is not the Bible. But what I'm saying is, the Constitution was based on the Bible. That's what our founding fathers used. And this is a God-given right. Freedom. Yeah. Free speech. Standing for God. Daniel said, "I'm going to pray whether you say I can't or not." They threw him in jail and I'll try to have lions eat him, but the lions ended up eating the guys that accused him. And we've got to trust God in that. It's just, again, good for this guy. And I'm glad he got reinstated.
You know, God wants us to worship him and follow him by choice.
Yep.
And Satan knows that no one will willingly follow him in that sense, that he wants the whole world to bow a knee to him.
That's right. That's
and the
right.
only way that he can make that happen is by force.
That's right. That's right. See, love yields because of love.
Yes.
But force is dictatorship. It's tyrannical. Satan is a tyrannical dictator leader, and that's what he's moving in the hearts of mankind to do and be as he rules over those that don't know Christ. Jesus doesn't force anybody into the kingdom. He said, "All who come to me, I will in no way cast out. I'll receive you. But I'm standing here knocking." Jesus doesn't come to the door with a spiritual battering ram, you know. Heavenly FBI, open up, kick in, come and rush your SWAT team or whatever. He knocks, and he says, "Will you let me in?" And some of you right now, he may be knocking on your heart right now. He may be saying to you, "Receive me." If that's you today, guys, repent of your sin, confess your sin, turn to Jesus. He will save you and give you your place in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
That's our Lord.
Amen. Now's the time.
That's right.
Now's Take the advantage time. Of it.
That's right.
All right, folks, thanks for listening. Don't forget thewaymedia.net or thescience.org. Either way is going to take you to everything about our program. We love you guys, and we hope you will be back here next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today are pointing to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Have a great week. We'll see you next Friday.